Osho, turning in, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number one.
Beloved Bhagwan, Ryusu said, emptiness is a name for nothingness, a name for ungraspability, a name for mountains, rivers, the whole earth. It is also called the real form. In the green of the pines, the twist of the brambles, there is no going or coming. In the red of the flowers and the white of the snow, there is no birth and no death. Joy, anger, love, pleasure, these are beginningless and endless delusion. Enlightenment, practice, realization, these are inexhaustible and boundless. Thus, emptiness is the name for nothing else. All things are the real form. In all worlds, in all directions, there is no second, no third. Therefore, in the fundamental vehicle, there is no delusion or enlightenment, no practice or realization. Even to speak of practice and realization is a relative view. In our school, from the first entry, this point should be practiced, whether sitting, lying down, or walking around. When sleeping, just sleeping, there is no past or future. When you awaken, there is no sleep either. This is called the Absolute Host.
Manisha, Ryusu is pointing to a very fundamental question that Gautam Buddha raised for the first time in human history. The question is, enlightenment something to be achieved, desired, longed for? If so, then there must be practices, disciplines, rituals, and the whole paraphernalia. And millions of people have gone astray in search of enlightenment. Buddha is the first human being who said that everything is absolutely arbitrary, because you need not go anywhere. Enlightenment is your very nature. It is consciousness that you are built with. This house, this body, is not you, and this mind also is not you, and there is not much problem to stand aside and watch the mind and its functioning. Stand aside and watch the gestures of the body. This watcher is your reality, your truth. It is already here. So don't go for search somewhere else. Whenever, wherever you will find it, you will always find it here and now. Now is the time, and here is the space. If you can be now here, you are a Gautam Buddha. I have heard a small story about a man who was a great atheist. The whole day he was arguing against religion. Against all kinds of superstitions. He has written in his sitting room with big letters, God is nowhere. And then a small child was born to him. One day the small child was looking at the writing. He was learning to write, learning the alphabet. So he could not manage to read, God is nowhere. On the contrary, he read, God is now here. Nowhere can be divided into two. The father listened it and was amazed. He had never thought about it, that nowhere consists of now and here. The small child changed his whole approach. He started thinking about now and here. And he was puzzled because he had never been now. His mind has been wandering in the past or in the future, but never now, never in the present. Mind has no relationship with the present. This moment, if you are here, the mind is no more. Mind needs the past as memory, and mind needs the future as projections. Without future and past, the mind cannot exist. And the present is so small, just a split second. And in the present, there is no work for the mind to do. Either it can do some work for the future or some work for the past, but it is absolutely impotent as far as the present is concerned. The father has defeated many philosophers, But the small child changed his whole life because he started to be here and to be now, and he found a new area opening within himself. The area is meditation. Meditation means no mind, no past, no future, no present, just eternity. A pure mirror which reflects the whole and is not scratched by anything. Just as the sky is not scratched by the clouds moving, or the sun rising, or the full moon night, the sky remains unscratched. You have heard Zen haikus about the shadows of the bamboos sweeping on the temple steps, but they don't make any noise. The moon in the sky is reflected in the smallest pond, but it does not disturb the pond. It does not even create a single ripple. And the miracle is, neither the pond wants the moon to reflect, nor the moon wants to be reflected, but existence manages spontaneously a beautiful phenomenon, a single moon being reflected all over the earth, in rivers, in oceans, in ponds, in lakes, in streams. Even in a single dewdrop on a lotus leaf, the full moon is reflected as fully as in the biggest ocean. But everything is happening so silently on its own accord. In existence, there is no effort. There is no intention. Everything is very relaxed and at ease. Gautam Buddha was the first man who said that anybody who is searching for himself is a fool. The very search is preventing you from finding. Don't search. Don't go anywhere. Just sit down and close your eyes and be within you. Forget all about past and future. Forget the body and the mind. You are the host. This is only a house. Temporary caravansaray. By the morning you will have to go on. The caravan continues from one saray to another saray. So don't get attached to the caravansaray you happen to be right now in this moment. Detached, aloof, just watching, and the mind disappears. Mind is your attachment with the body. And through the body with the world and all its greed, anger, love, hate, jealousy, the whole world is projection of your mind in which you live in suffering or misery or once in a while a little joy, a little pleasure, but very superficial, not even skin deep. But behind all this scene is hiding your Buddha, your awareness, your pure consciousness, unclouded, unscratched from eternity to eternity. To realize this is the greatest experience in the world. But all the religions have been driving people astray, searching for gods which don't exist, praying before gods you have never met. No prayer has been responded. But all the religions are combined in a conspiracy to take you away from yourself. These are the ways. God is far away. Self-realization is going to be through arduous practices, disciplines. Everybody cannot afford. Nobody has that much time. Nobody has that much capacity to self-torture. Nobody is so much a masochist that he can become a saint. Naturally, the ultimate outcome is the present day humanity. Everybody has lost his way to himself. And it is a single step, just turning in. It is not a finding, it is not a discovery, it is not an invention, it is simply a remembrance. You can forget it, you can remember it. These are the only two things you can do about your nature, about your intrinsic consciousness. But between the two, there is not much difference. The difference between sleep and waking is the only difference, and one who is awake today was asleep yesterday, and one who is asleep today may become awake tomorrow. So it is only a question of timing. It is only a question of your decision when to recognize As far as Buddhahood is concerned, it is waiting there since eternity to eternity. Whether you recognize it or not, it does not matter. If you recognize it, all your actions will change, your world view will change, mind will not be anymore a master to you, but will be a very good and very efficient servant, a good biocomputer. But first, the master has to be recognized. Then the mind and the body function according to the wisdom of the master. Ryusu is a great master. He is saying, emptiness is a name for nothingness. In the dictionaries and encyclopedias, you will find emptiness having a negative connotation. In the experience of the meditator, emptiness is not negative. It is simply your room is full of furniture. Have you ever thought about it, that room means space? You take out all the furniture, what is left behind? Ordinarily anybody will say, now the room is empty. Buddha was the first person to say that now the room is really a room, empty of anything, just itself. All the junk has been removed. Emptiness in Buddha's conception is a very positive, the most positive quality. Buddha introduced many original viewpoints to the world. This is one of his original contributions. Emptiness and nothingness don't really mean what you mean ordinarily by them. Emptiness simply means pure, unclouded sky of your consciousness. And nothingness simply means no thingness. Just put a hyphen, and then you will see the change that happens. No thingness. Your consciousness is not a thing. It is not an object. It is always a subjectivity. You cannot put it before yourself and examine it. That is the problem before the scientist. He cannot recognize consciousness because he cannot make consciousness an object of examination. He cannot dissect it. He cannot find of what it is constituted. he cannot put it apart and look deeper into it, because consciousness is not a thing, it is no thing, but it is pure isness. As your mind ceases thinking and you become detached from your body, a tremendous silence descends over you, and a luminous being is revealed, which I am calling the Buddha. The Buddha simply means the awakened one. Everyone has the potential. Very few have realized it. But everybody has the potential. If you don't realize, except you, nobody is responsible for it. Mind knows only one language, that is of fear, danger, and how to survive and make yourself safe against an antagonistic universe. Even a great man like Bertrand Russell wrote a book, Conquest of Nature. The same fear of the mind. We have to conquer. It has to be changed. The idea should be, now we have to rejoice nature. We have to find the mysteries and secrets of nature. And we have to go beyond mind. This artifact is not our nature. That's what we are doing in meditation. Meditation is finding something superior within you than the mind. Only then the mind can be prevented from destroying humanity and this beautiful planet. It was perfectly okay to be destructive up to now. But now, the situation and the context is totally different. Somebody asked Albert Einstein, what do you think about the Third World War? He said, I cannot say anything about Third World War, but I can say something about Fourth World War. The questioner was puzzled. He said, if you don't know about the Third, how can you know about the Fourth? Albert Einstein said that the Fourth will never happen. That much can be said. Just let the Third happen. Finished. Look at the back, at the past of the mind. Genghis Khan killed 30 million people alone. His successor Tamerlane killed 40 million people alone. We don't know exact numbers about Nader Shah, but we know about Adolf Hitler. He killed 30 million. But now we are ready to kill 5 billion human beings. Not to say anything about millions of birds, millions of animals, millions of trees, because Third World War will be an end of all life on this planet. It is not just human beings that will be killed. It is going to be a loss to the whole universe. Scientists say that perhaps there are 500 planets where some kind of life exists, but it is all guesswork. No certainty, no communication has been successful up to now. All that we know is in this vast infinity, we are the only people alive with a potentiality of becoming eternal, of becoming immortal. In every possible way, this earth should be saved from our mind. The only way I can see is meditation. Up to now, mind has been our survival. From onwards, only meditation can be our survival. Because meditation means going beyond mind. Searching something in your consciousness which is higher than your mind, which can dictate the mind, which can rearrange the mind. Mind is just a biocomputer. It needs new data, that's all. Instead of fear, it can learn to love. Instead of being in danger, it can start enjoying the eternity of its life source. There is no death, only forms change. Life continues on and on. This is what we are trying to do here. This is what all the Buddhas of the past had been doing. But in the past, they were not so relevant. Today, the situation is different. Today, either you listen to the Buddha or you commit suicide. There is no choice. Meditation or suicide, global suicide, that is a simple alternative. There is no third way. In Gautam Buddha's time, there were not much difficulty, small wars, few people killed, there was no harm. But now, the very destructive mind has brought us to a situation where we have to recode the mind for construction, for creation. And if the mind can be so destructive, it can be transformed in the same way to great creativity, the same energy. Energy is neutral. You can put it in the service of death, or you can put it in the service of life. Our effort here is to put our minds, our bodies, in the service of life, in creativity, in music, in poetry, in dance. Great is the moment that we can change the mind, feed it with new information, and the same mind that brings nuclear weapons can bring great joys, plenty of food, better clothes, more health, longer life, less disease. It can eliminate the old age completely. And the moment is ripe, because nobody who is a little bit intelligent can be in favor of a third world war. Only few retarded politicians, and even they cannot openly say that they are in favor of third world war. But their preparation continues. That preparation is dangerous, dangerous in many ways. Because a third world war may happen accidentally. The weapons have become so sophisticated that just a push button just few days before, I was telling you about a Soviet Union nuclear plant which had a map in the office of the whole world. Showing the distance and the time, how much time it will take for its nuclear weapons to reach to this land or that land. It has also buttons on it. And a peon, seeing that too much dust has gathered on the board, was dusting it, and the professor in charge came in. He said, "You idiot, what are you doing? He said, I am simply dust in too much dust. He said, do you see, where is England? You have dusted it off. He pushed the button, but I don't think we would like to be dusted off in this way. It is now a question no greater question has been ever asked, and there has never been such a parting of ways. Those who want to commit suicide can commit suicide on their own, but they cannot be allowed to destroy the whole world. Professor Wesseling, your question absolutely fits with the Zen series, because Zen is a search of no mind, or a cosmic mind beyond the human mind. Before we enter into our inner being, our every evening meditation, I don't want to understand, Professor Wesseling, that we are serious people. We are very non-serious. We are absolutely playful. Whatever happens, we will sing and dance to the very last moment. On his first trip out of Poland, Kabalowski finds himself sitting next to a priest in the plane. He has never seen a priest before and asks, why do you wear your collar back to front? Because I am a father, replies the priest, smiling. Funny, says Kabalowski, I am a father too. Says the priest, but I am a father to hundreds of people. Really? Says Kabalowski, thinking for a moment. In that case, he continues, should not you wear your pants back to front? Little Rufus has been playing in the woods all day. Suddenly he realizes that he is lost and that it is late. He hunts around for a way out, but finally gives up. Kneeling on the ground, he holds out his hands
Please God, Rufus prays, I am lost. Please show me the way out of here. Just then a little bird flies overhead and drops a load of shit on his outstretched hands. Little Rufus examines it closely and then goes back to praying, Ah, please God, he says, I really am lost, so don't hand me that shit. I logged my husband out of the house last week for playing around with other women. Saab's young Mrs. Bed Spring in the confession box, and now he wants me to take him back. What should I do, Father? You must take him back, replies Father Fungus, patting her hand through the curtain. It is your Christian duty. But first, Fungus continues, tightening his grip, how would you like to get even with the bastard? An Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Russian Jew are discussing the meaning of true happiness. Coming home from work to a loving wife with a gin and tonic, spouts the Englishman. Ah, you English, says the Frenchman. Real happiness is meeting a cute little girl who spends the night with you. She entertains you and then leaves you quietly and with no regrets. The Russian Jew is sitting thinking, true happiness, he says, I experienced a few years ago. In the middle of the night, the KGB knocked on my door and shouted, Hermann Fingel, you are under arrest. The Englishman and the Frenchman look at him in alarm. Yes, says the Russian Jew, smiling happily, and I shouted back, Hermann Fingel lives upstairs. Nivedana.
silence. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Collect your consciousness, your life energy inwards. Close all the doors and all the windows. Just be in concentrated. Find out the center of your life, because that is also the center of the universe. Finding it is the greatest blessing that man has ever experienced. Finding it, you are a Buddha this very moment. To be a Buddha is not a discipline, it is not a practice. It is simply a remembrance. Remember, just a little ice cold water on your eyes. Wake up. And this moment will become your life's greatest moment. Drink out of your inner being as much light, as much delight as you are capable of. Let it sink into every cell and nerve of your being. Nivedana, now relax. See the body as dead, there, far away from you, and the mind is also part of it, a mechanism. You are just a watcher. A simple watchfulness. And you reach to the beyond. You transcend life and death. You transcend duality. You come to feel the eternity, the immortality. Your cosmic wholeness. You are not just a part. You are the cosmos. That is the meaning of being a Buddha.
This is the host we were talking about. Everything else changes, this host remains always now and here. This is your nothingness. This is your emptiness. Just pure space. And out of this pure space arise all kinds of creativity, all sounds, all joys, all dances. Only this experience, if it becomes like a wildfire around the world, can save humanity from itself. Vedana, come back silently, gracefully, without any hurry, keeping hold of the consciousness and the experience you have reached, because you have keep it like an undercurrent 24 hours, so that every act reflects your consciousness, your compassion, your love, your meditation. It is not something to be done for a few minutes and be finished with it. It is something that has to become your very breathing, your very heartbeat. Only then there is a possibility for a future humanity, for a new man whose mind will not be destructive, whose earth will not be divided into nations, whose whole energy will be devoted to make life as rich, as blissful, as peaceful, as loving, as poets have always dreamed of, and only few mystics have experienced. Meditation is the way in. It is the way to wake up the master who can control the mind who can change the mind, who can use the mind in the service of greater values of truth and beauty and love and joy. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.